Thus, Australia has an exceptionally fragile environment, damaged in a multitude of ways, incurring enormous economic costs. Some of those costs stem from past damage that is now irreversible, such as some forms of land degradation and the extinctions of native species, relatively more species in recent times in Australia than on any other continent. Most of the types of damage are still ongoing today, or even increasing or accelerating, as in the case of old-growth forest logging in Tasmania. Many Australian cultural attitudes, as well as government policies, remain the ones that caused damage in the past and are still continuing to cause it. To those of us inclined to pessimism, or even just to realistic sober thinking, all those facts give us reason to wonder whether Australians are doomed to a declining standard of living in a steadily deteriorating environment. That is an entirely realistic scenario for Australia's future, much more likely either than a plunge into an Easter Island-like population crash and political collapse, or than a continuation of current consumption rates and population growth. The realistic prospects of the first scenario apply to the rest of the first world as well, with the sole difference that Australia could end up in the first scenario sooner. Fortunately, there are signs of hope. They involve changing attitudes, private initiatives, and the beginnings of radical governmental initiatives. When I first visited Australia 40 years ago, many Australian landowners responded to criticism that they were damaging their land by responding, "It's my land and I can bloody well do with it whatever I bloody please." While one still hears such attitudes today, they are becoming less frequent and less publicly acceptable. Whereas the government until a few decades ago faced little resistance to its enforcing environmentally destructive regulations and putting through environmentally destructive schemes, the Australian public today is increasingly vocal on environmental matters. Public opposition has been especially loud to land clearance, river development, and old-growth logging. Those public attitudes have just resulted in the South Australian state government instituting a new tax to raise $300 million to undo damage to the Murray River. The Western Australian state government proceeding with the phasing out of old-growth logging. The New South Wales state government and its farmers reaching agreement on a $406 million plan to streamline resource management and end large-scale land clearing. And the state government in Queensland announcing a joint proposal with the national government to end large-scale clearing of mature bushland by the year 2006. All of these measures were unimaginable 40 years ago. Among Australia's many innovative private initiatives to address environmental problems are several that I encountered while visiting a former sheep and farm property of nearly 1,000 square miles near the Murray River, called Calprum Station. First leased for grazing in 1851, it fell victim to the usual panoply of Australian environmental problems: deforestation, foxes, land clearance, over-irrigation, overstocking, rabbits, salinization, weeds, wind erosion, and so on. In 1993, it was bought by the Australian Commonwealth Government and the Chicago Zoological Society, the latter attracted by Australia's pioneering efforts in developing ecologically sustainable land practices. For some years after that purchase, government managers applied top-down control and gave orders to local community volunteers, who became increasingly frustrated until in 1998 control was turned over to the private Australian Landscape Trust, mobilizing 400 local volunteers for bottom-up community management.